With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
In front of me sits a young man with an appearance to die for, who seems to be as beautiful on the inside as on the outside. He managed to create a career as an actor and a fashion model, but it was in the important role of the leukemia warrior he conquered the world. All the way from Stockholm to London and Hollywood, in his drive to beat one of the worst enemies to human life in the world today. Along on the battlefield with no curtains drawn, he revealed all about what it's like to really fight for your existence. This is Tell Your Story. Welcome, Fabian Bolin.
You are the son of a Swedish opera singer and your mother works at the Royal Dramatic Theatre in Stockholm. So maybe it's not so hard to understand and to see where you got all your creative talent from. You are also blessed with being really, really good looking and handsome.
Wow, thank
that's, you. You're welcome. And that's really my honest meaning. And I guess I'm not the only one who thinks so. Because you have been working as a fashion model for a long time. And besides that, you are a successful actor.
I'd like to think that, at least. Or
at least you are educated at New York Film Academy in
exactly,
Burbank.
Yeah.
In Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And at the Brian Timoney,
yeah.
Actor studio in London.
Yeah.
And the list doesn't stop here. You seem to be smart as well. Because
well,
this was all followed by education at the Stockholm School of Economics here in Sweden and a career in finance.
Exactly. Actually, I went... First of all, I went to the New York Film Academy in 2008, and then I actually went straight to Stockholm School of Economics before I then went back to acting.
Yes.
So you sort of like, I didn't first study acting and then went into business. Yeah, so the whole thing was, well, I had dreams of, my dreams emerged when I was around 17, 18, pretty late.
Mm-hmm.
For coming from a pretty sort of like creative family, but I just hadn't really thought about what I wanted to do until sort of, you know, 1920-ish,
yes.
Which is when I went to LA to study, and I loved, really loved studying acting there.
Yes.
However, when I was enrolled at the New York Film Academy, I actually got a letter from the Stockholm School of Economics in Stockholm. Just saying that I was accepted. I applied for the school because I didn't know when I applied for the New York Film Academy whether I would love acting or not. So it was more about sort of as a safety measure and a backup plan. I didn't want to enroll at the business school. However, I spoke to my parents and also actually my acting teachers, and they said, you know, you're relatively young still. You should get 3 years of business studies before, just to have that as a safety backup in life. And then you can sort of like confidently move into acting with the knowledge that, you know, in case shit hits the fan, you can always move into business.
And the thing is that acting is also business somehow.
Indeed. That's what I've learned quite a lot later on in life, especially now that I... Sort of following the 3 years of business studies, I actually went to practice as an investment banker for about 2 years in London. That's what initially brought me to London.
Yes. Yeah. So what degree did you take at the Stockholm School of Economics?
It was a bachelor in finance.
Yeah. You know, it seems to me that you have been spending a lot of time on yourself and your career. And still you managed to be very popular, and it seems to me that you have a lot of friends, a lot of childhood friends still. How do you manage to be so selfish and still be so popular?
I wouldn't know if I'm that popular, but I think I've sort of filtered out. I think in general, when people are younger, you have a lot of friends, and I think I've filtered out quite a lot of my friends, and I've stuck with a core group of close friends that actually in London that I lived with, which enabled me to actually spend time with my best friends, because I was living with them, you know. But it's all about priorities, you know. Even though my life right now is, you know, working as an artist or any sort of like self-employed kind of job, you know, you need to. I think routine is a key word to get somewhere in life, because I found in the beginning when I went into acting that I just kept working and working and working. I kept sending, you know, hundreds of emails to directors. I spent hours and hours in social media, you know, sent out like 15 tweets a day. And,
you're not shy in social media.
I'm not. No. Mm-hmm. I don't think someone once said, when it comes to social media, like, whether we like it or not, if you're going into an industry where the whole point is that you need to get people to like you for what you are and what you can bring to the table, you know, it's you're not hiding away as an actor. It would be the same as if I were a plumber and I wouldn't like to get my hands dirty. You know, it's just a part of the job. And I think it's I don't want to say stupid, but it's just not practical to, as an artist, to not be willing to actually put yourself out there and show the world what you're doing.
Yeah.
Then, of course, there are degrees. I think I've been very, very out there.
You have been very, very out there because, you know, I know and you know that there is no such a thing as a perfect life.
No.
But more or less, from the outside, yours looked pretty much awesome. when something really, really horrible and unfair happened to you. And that's something that horrible enough can happen to anyone, any time. Right?
Sadly, yeah.
I mean, you were in the middle of your life, creating your dreams. And how do you feel about being interrupted like that by cancer?
Yeah, it came as a complete shock, to be honest. I was at a sort of like I was in the middle of I was at a crossroads, actually, at the point when I got my diagnosis.
Yeah.
Because I was, the career in London had been going well, but I was looking to move to the States to continue my career there. So I just came home to Sweden for a quick sort of holiday, summer holiday visit with my parents. And on the day that I got home, I was diagnosed.
On the same day?
Yeah, the very same day. I've been feeling quite down, like under the weather pretty much for maybe a month, one and a half before that, you know. It's,
how did your health status change?
Well, it all started with, I don't remember exactly when it was, but I remember that morning, or like a couple of mornings in a row, I just felt so extremely tired. I woke up, you know, I've gotten my usual 8-9 hours of sleep or whatever, 8 hours of sleep. And I just woke up and felt so tired. You know, I couldn't, like, understand, like, why. I couldn't grasp why. But a couple of days in a row, I just felt extremely tired. So
tired in a different kind of way?
Yeah, like mentally exhausted. Yeah. So I thought initially that maybe I've hit some kind of wall, or maybe I'm just...
Wall.
I hit some kind of depression. Overworked, overstressed. I've been living pretty, you know, rough in terms of with the artist profession. You do a lot of networking, and sometimes some weeks you find yourself you being out, you know, meeting people 4 or 5 times a week. A lot of work, a lot of model jobs and roles, and just overall stress. So I figured that maybe it's just my body sending me a signal to sort of calm down. But it didn't go away over sort of the following 2 or 3 weeks.
Did you do something to try to?
I didn't, no, which was
you
stupid.
You didn't sleep more than usually and you didn't?
Well, no, I slept a bit more, but I was constantly tired. Because I knew that I would be going home to Sweden for some holiday. You know, I figured I go through with it and then I rest comfortably in Sweden. But it got worse. I started sweating. I started aching different parts of my body. And sort of
sweating
like
all the time?
Yeah, like all the time. It was obviously I obviously had leukemia in my system. I had cancer in my blood, but I wasn't aware. The week before I left my whole body started to, like the whole situation started to deteriorate. It was escalating. I felt I was drained of all energy, aching everywhere, and for some stupid reason I didn't.
In the muscles?
Yeah, like in the lymph nodes, like you have them here. My legs, headache all the time. My body was like fighting a battle. Like my immune system at the time was fighting a battle. But then I went home. I flew home. I nearly fainted on the flight back to Stockholm. And I got home, and the same night I went to the hospital because I'd gotten this tumor in my chest that
at what point did you decide that did you understand that I really have to go to the hospital?
Because I had this aching in my chest, like around here, like around the, what do you call it, like the solar plexus, that part. We went out for dinner with me and my parents, and at some point during the evening, I just felt like I started having trouble breathing.
And it's so hard to imagine. How does it feel to not be able to breathe? I've been thinking about it.
It didn't come as a, you know, it's like, it sort of like crept on me, like slowly.
That the breathing became up shorter and shorter?
Yeah,
that you couldn't
exactly.
Breathe down?
It just got heavier and heavier, and it felt like I got less and less oxygen per breath take. And I just remember reading that, you know, if you have trouble breathing, you need to go to the hospital straight away to see a doctor, because it can be a matter of minutes, you know, if something's really wrong. So we went in and to the emergency in Stockholm and Central Hospital, and they sent me through X-ray, and 2 hours later, they said that we don't know yet what it is, but we can see that, you know, it's something, it's like something's going on. Like there, we can see this shape, or there's some kind of deformity in your chest that we need to look further into. And the day after, they just came and told me that I had leukemia.
So, I mean, the leukemia, did it come from metastasis, from this tumor? Or did the tumor come because of the leukemia?
Yeah, it's funny. It took me a while to understand why I got a tumor. Because normally if you have like brain cancer, or if you have like in the cervix or whatever, you get like a tumor at that specific place. But blood cancer is like leukemia is blood cancer. It's in the blood, right? It's everywhere. But apparently it's very common to get kind of tumor, and mine was in my chest. But no, it starts from the bone marrow. Basically, you have this abnormal cell It's the bone marrow, basically, that starts to produce the leukemia.
You know, I'm going to tell you something. I mean, I've seen blood cancer really close because my mother died from myeloma.
Oh,
and
wow.
You cannot secure.
I'm really sorry about that.
And leukemia, I mean, you were lucky enough to get leukemia, so to say, because, I mean, you can get well. You can...
It's, first of all, I'm sorry to hear about your mother. My condolences.
Yeah, but that's also why I feel for you so strong, because I know what you're going through, because I've experienced it, you know, as
sadly, so many people have. It's such a common, brutal disease that has affected pretty much everyone.
And I think you don't really get it until you've seen it. But when you do, it takes over everything.
It does. I had no clue about cancer before I got it. Like I'd obviously heard a lot about it, and some people in my family, relatives have gotten it. But people are quite badly informed about what it really means to go through something like cancer.
And I mean, when it happens to you, you wonder, how can people not do more? If they only knew what this means, how it affects everyone.
I know, yeah.
And that's also why I want to honor you, because you've done a fantastic job. I mean, you turned your troubles into...
With a blog.
I mean, you've been really transparent and open. We were talking about social media before.
Yeah.
And you really took the facade away and showed everyone exactly what you were going through.
Yeah. It came very natural to me.
But most people, they just go and hide.
I know.
But you didn't do it. And it's so important that people get to know.
Yeah. I figured it's about time someone really discloses the truth, that what it means to go through, perhaps not the full journey, but at least the first couple of months. Just document what it really means and to give people a better understanding, because so many people, sadly, have to go through it.
It's so important to join forces against cancer, and also that people who get sick from cancer often get very lonely.
They get very lonely. The isolation is...
It's a killer as well.
It's a killer. It's been probably that and the fatigue, basically the exhaustion, are like the isolation and the exhaustion are the two main, like the hardest part with going through cancer. Yes, the treatment in itself is horrible at points. You know, it can be quite painful, but pain is something that goes away. You know, it's the endless exhaustion and also not being able to hang out with friends in a normal way.
And you cannot, because of health reasons as well, because you get really sensitive. And
indeed, the infection risk goes up quite a lot, because the immune system goes... The immune system is wiped out by the cell toxins.
Yeah. So what has happened to you from the day that you got diagnosed, the day when you came to Sweden and until today?
Well, yeah,
are you the same? Are you the same person? Are you the same Fabian?
No, I'm not. I've changed quite a lot. It's given me a perspective and a breather. And I keep telling people that when they ask me about, you know, what's, you know, yeah, if I get that question, it's in one way, I am actually happy that I got cancer, because it enabled me to sort of like step back and look at my life from perspective and distance. And you know, the way I was living, and I'm sure quite a lot of people can relate, was pretty stressful. Pretty, you know, I was constantly planning 2 years ahead. I was pushing myself so much on so many different, like on all levels. And I was sometimes struggling. Like I've asked myself whether I've been really happy over the last 6-7 years. Yes, I've done things that I've enjoyed, but sort of like the more genuine happiness, because of you put so much, like at least me, I put so much pressure on myself to succeed in whatever I do. That's come in the way of just enjoying the moment. And and yeah, I think I've changed in a way that I'm a lot more calm now. I'm calmer as a person because it forces you. I used to be very impatient. I still am quite impatient.
Are you a perfectionist?
No, I wouldn't say that. But I'm like my two biggest, I don't know, virtues or weaknesses, I'm not, depending on how you look at them, are impatience and hyperactivity. And when you get something like this, you're forced to just like take it easy.
Slow down.
Because you don't have the energy. In the beginning, I was like, oh, I'm going to do this, and I came up with these bracelets that I've started selling, and I was just very, very active, but I got so tired from it.
You were documenting everything, and you were writing long texts.
Very long texts. Very, very long texts.
And very honest texts.
Yeah. I figured if you want to, like, if you're going to do it, you might as well go, like, do it properly. And
ambitious.
And, you know, really say, because, like, I just thought about what people might find interesting in a blog like this. And, yeah, of course, the treatment. It's interesting for people to understand, but
So you mean that you were thinking about the audience?
I was in a sense, you know, Well, before I started, I figured what would I like to hear? Like, what's interesting here? And I figured, well, to me, the sort of like the psychoanalysis of a person, like, so. Is like whatever happens with someone in the middle of life getting cancer.
Yeah.
Like, what are my thoughts and my feelings? I decided that is probably what people want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like that's at least I'm going to make that one of the main parts of the blog. Just I decided to share my thoughts.
Yes.
Because that's personal, and that makes it interesting.
But did you get a little bit obsessed by showing everything?
Yeah, I did in a sense. In the beginning, definitely.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Also because I was pretty, I was taking quite a lot of meds, and they do things to your brain. And my I had my parents reading everything before I
posted,
and they were like, "You can't write this, and you can't write this." I wanted to be even more honest,
yeah,
about some things. And they're like, "It just, it's not worth it. Like, it doesn't help." Some things about, yeah, obviously I won't share them now.
Yeah, come but, on.
But no, no, it was 95%, like 98% truth, all of it.
Did you go back and edit afterwards?
No.
No?
I haven't.
Did you go back and read it?
No.
No.
I haven't read it. Like, I'm going to go through it. Maybe. I'm not sure.
No.
I might go through it at some point. There was so much happening, like, so much going on in my brain. I can't really remember everything from that first month. There's so much, the shock. Like, I think the brain is in shock.
It seemed to be chaotic.
Very. Like, you're thrown into this, like, carousel, like this madness. Doctors and appointments everywhere, and so many people are talking to you, giving you so much information, take so many pills a day. And in all of this, you're still like questioning whether you're going to live or not, because in the beginning, you don't know.
No.
You don't, like, there's a 70% chance, thanks to cancer research today, to survive something like this. But still, there's 30% chance you're going to die. And that's also there. I didn't think about it. I decided not to, you know, put my mind to the possibility of dying. But obviously, I knew. So there's so much going on, and there's so much for the brain to process.
So what did you think when you got this information that there is a 30% chance I'm not gonna live? How do you?
Well, I didn't. I was never really scared of dying.
Never?
No. I sort of knew.
You would
knew,
live?
Yeah, I knew I would live through it. I had that inner feeling. I was pretty confident I would survive it. It was never really an option for me that I would make it. And yeah, I've stuck to that. And I think that mindset is quite important.
I think so too.
To have, you know, you need to, you can't focus on, it's not just, you know, cancer. It's everything in life. You know, you focus on the bad stuff. Bad stuff is going to happen. You need to focus on what's positive.
Yes.
And just, you know, put your mind.
A prayer to the light.
Indeed. Definitely.
So how do you feel today?
I feel tired. I feel happy because I've gone through the worst part, like the worst is behind me now, finally. So this whole treatment is sort of like split into three stages. The first one is sort of getting rid of cancer, like getting rid of the cancer from the blood. It's a common misconception. When I meet people, they think that I actually have cancer in my blood. I don't.
No.
I got rid of that after about a month. I got so much chemo in the beginning.
They gave you extra strong.
Yeah,
because
definitely.
Because you're young and.
Exactly. Yeah, I got the same treatment as a baby. Yeah, I got the same treatment as a baby would get.
Really?
Would
a baby, are they not more sensitive?
One would think that, yes. But no. They're stronger. They're the strongest. They're ability to regenerate is by far, like it's much stronger than for someone like me. So up until 30, you. Nowadays, you get the children version of the treatment, and I'm 28.
Yeah.
And then the if you're 30 or above, you get a less sort of intense treatment. But yeah, they just bombarded me with chemo until they got rid of it. And then a lot of people seem to be confused about the fact that I keep getting chemo. But it's because of the fact that there's a high risk of the leukemia cells actually returning to my blood.
Okay.
Yeah, so you need to, the whole treatment is 2.5 years. Not as intense all the time, but you need, they keep giving me chemo just to make sure that the body doesn't, like, well, the bone marrow doesn't start
to produce
the leukemia cells again.
Yeah.
But that part, like, that's, the phase one is to get rid of the cancer. The phase two has been from, like, month two up until now, has been very intense.
And for another 2 years?
No. The phase three is for another 2 years.
Okay.
Which just started, and it's going to be much less intense, and I'm looking forward to sort of returning to my life and my career.
What do you want to do now? Do you feel freedom?
Yeah, I do feel, not yet, but yeah, I'm definitely
you
happy.
You sense freedom.
I can sense it, I can smell it. I'm going to move back to London.
You're moving back to London?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the plan.
Is that your favorite place on earth?
Yeah, I think so.
What do you like about London?
It's just the vibe. It's such a, the people there are amazing. It's like 10 million people. The British, indeed. I love it. It's such a energetic city that has it all. You know, you can meet all kinds of people.
But what do you like to do in London? What do you do?
I act.
You act?
Yeah, yeah. I work. It's because of my career. That's why, you know, it's becoming the film city of the world.
But when you vision your future life in London,
yeah,
how will your days look like? What will you do?
Well, in you know, my normal day, I would wake up, I would go to the gym, and then I would have a casting or two for maybe a TV part or a film part or maybe a commercial. And then I might have a model casting. And then I probably have some kind of meeting scheduled. It's all about networking in this industry. So you try and meet as many people as possible within the industry and collaborate with them on different, if I can give them something, they can give me something. And yeah, if not that, I'll be at a job.
Yeah.
Yeah, working on a film or something like that.
And what about social media? I mean, because of this cancer journey that you had, and because of your openness in social media, you became a little bit of international, got some international fame.
It's been pretty hyped, you know.
What happened?
Well, you know, just a lot of people have caught up on the story, and I think I satisfied a demand, you know, with my story. There are so many people that are being affected.
A huge need to talk
about this. Yeah.
To get attention to
this. Yeah. But I'm determined to keep going. I might not forever be documenting the story in terms of as a daily kind of, journal, but I'm going to keep working with the concept War on Cancer.
Yes, to fund money to research.
Exactly. You know, I think it makes me very happy to be able to give something back. You know, the reason why I'm alive is because of cancer research, and I'm going to use my fame, you know, and everything to sort of like try and raise money going forward for cancer research, and hopefully be able to help out to find the final solution.
I really think your bracelet is a nice bracelet.
I actually brought one for you.
Did you?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Thank you very much.
But I want to buy it from you. I want to,
No, that's all right. You can have it. It's coming up to Christmas.
Then I will anyway donate the money to cancer research.
Please do.
Yes, I will.
Well, no, the bracelets they're a huge success. We're really proud of them. And
I think it should be the Christmas present of the year.
Yeah, we definitely. We're selling a lot of them right now around Christmas. And I think next year we'll probably push it harder. You know, it's the first year we're running it, but everything is looking great. There's a lot of interest, not only from consumers, but also from stores and stuff like that. So we're gonna have a sit down and just think through the strategy. You know, I want to work with it, and I want to make it part of my life. You know, too.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah. Add it to my legacy.
Yes. Yeah. Important legacy. So I have to ask you, I mean, if you would say something today to the person you were before this happened to you,
yeah,
what would you say? And that's also, what would you say to everyone else who didn't have this experience?
Yeah.
Maybe not yet. And hopefully never.
Do you mean from like a cancer's perspective?
Yeah, I mean,
or like
as a person, I mean, what would you, with this knowledge and how this experience have transformed you?
Yeah,
sort of.
Well, yeah,
what would you say to yourself before this happened?
I would say to myself that yes, you know, you can strive for success in life and strive for, but you know, you can work hard. However, have a sit down and think about what actually makes you happy in life and try and sort of like take a breather every now and then, because life, it's a bit of a cliche, but you know, life is actually now. And I didn't personally feel before this that I lived. I didn't really experience much. I never looked up. When I was walking somewhere, I was in my own thoughts, in my own head. I wasn't even looking at, you know, the people around me, or I was just constantly, I felt distant. So I would advise myself to just actually try and experience something, try and feel something for real. Because before you know it, you know, another 10 years are going to have passed, gone, and you'll be sitting there sort of wondering what the hell happened with it all. Life is quite short, I think. It's, you know, you just have this, and yeah, it's a delicate thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that makes sense.
Yes, but definitely. It makes sense. Yeah, but that's
It's just calm down a bit, and you know, it's not. Don't rush it too much.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, what makes people most happy is, you know, love and being with friends, not the career.
Yeah. But still, you seem to be ambitious and go for the career. And
yeah, I think it's in my DNA. I will.
That's just you.
Yeah, I will. Also, because now I'm the most happy, I think, when I'm on a film set.
Yeah.
Which
and
is why.
I didn't mean that something wrong with being ambitious. I
no,
mean,
no,
it's
no.
also about taking care of time and being here now and doing what you love and
exactly.
and dare to do it. And that's also one part of it too. Maybe some people don't, something is holding them back from doing what they want to do.
Sadly, yeah, a lot of people have secret dreams.
You don't seem to be that kind of person, but
I wouldn't have quit banking if, you know, I made a choice to quit investment banking, which is obviously a pretty good career and very well paid and all of that. But I, within myself, I knew that I had another dream, and I'm not afraid of a lot of things. I'm not. The concept of risk has never been an issue for me to take risks in life, but the only thing
I like to take risks?
I love it.
You do?
Yeah, it drives me.
Yeah.
than risk.
What is it that you love about risks?
It just, I don't know, I get bored easily. You know, I want to wake up and feel that my life is an adventure and that I don't know, you know, what's going to happen the next week, and if I don't know what's going to happen today and tomorrow. You know, it's, I want my days to be different, and I'm not afraid to just throw myself out there. Mm-hmm. I guess it might come from the way I've been raised.
How were you raised?
I was raised with very supporting parents. You know, they said that just go for it. So, like, whatever you want to do, sort of go for it, and like properly just. We're behind you as much as we can, and we're going to back you up, but just pursue happiness. And I know, of course, that that is not the case for every child.
No.
Growing up, you know, had I been growing up in the third world, my life, I probably wouldn't have become an actor.
No.
Because of, you know, there's a risk of me ending up in the street or whatever, but I never really felt, I felt pretty sort of like secure in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And
maybe it's easier then to take risks.
Definitely.
If you feel safe.
Definitely. It is.
On your baseline.
Yeah, definitely. It's, and I think everyone growing up in the first world kind of, you know, during these kind of circumstances, that we have food on the table and we don't have to fear for our lives and diseases.
Yeah.
And everything is pretty solid, you know, at least in Sweden and all of Northern Europe or whatever. We should be quite grateful for that.
Yeah.
But we're not. We're used to it.
Mm.
But I think a lot of our kids grow up in a completely different, during completely different circumstances, like in India, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine, for many people growing up there, they don't have the opportunities that we have.
Mm. What would you, it's almost Christmas now. Mm-hmm. What do you wish for from Santa Claus?
I don't know.
No?
I haven't really thought about it. I don't have anything. I just want to be, I wish that I will not be as tired as I am right now. I'm not tired right now, but I'm exhausted. I can have this like constant exhaustion, and I'm hoping, like now when the worst part of the chemo is over, like the treatment.
But you don't look tired.
No, thank you. But it's just, you know, you get used to it. The body adjusts. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm just hoping to be able to enjoy a couple of good evenings with friends and family, and I have nothing material like that I feel a need for right now, but we'll see.
Yeah. So in this podcast, in the end, everyone has to the guests have to choose a song.
Yeah.
What did you choose?
I chose "Where Is My Mind" with A Placebo. It's originally made by The Pixies, but there's a cover, a remix by Placebo that I really like.
And why do you like it? What is this song to you?
It means everything to me. It's been my favorite song for about 10 years since I first heard it. But especially now, these couple of months have been quite overwhelming and quite chaotic, which is why, you'll hear the lyrics, but it's sort of, where is my mind? It suits very well.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Fabian Bolin, for being my guest.
Thank you, Lisa. It's been a great pleasure. And
I'm happy. And now we're going to listen to the song.
Yeah. Amazing.
Thank you.